Listeners, please welcome a real finance nerd from our sponsor, NerdWallet. Hey, Sean.
Hey, Rich. Thanks for having me.
We all know NerdWallet for their credit card comparisons, but there's more to it than that, right?
So much more. Even for credit cards, it's not the basic this card versus that card. With us, you can filter for features you want, add your top cards to a comparison table, and get access to exclusive offers.
Smarter tools, smarter financial decisions.
Exactly. Beyond credit cards, we research and review thousands of other financial products, from high-yield savings accounts to mortgage lenders, so you can find the smartest products.
Hear that, world? NerdWallet is not just credit cards.
Thanks for that important PSA, Rich.
And where exactly should people go to compare and find these credit cards and savings account and mortgage rates and more?
NerdWallet.com/learn more.
Thanks again to NerdWallet, our paid sponsor of this segment. NerdWallet, finance smarter.
Hey, that's my line. Finance smarter, y'all. NerdWallet Compare Inc., NMLS 1617539.
This is The Rich Eisen Show. Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Seriously, yeah. What's it like to hand out a game ball in AT&T Stadium? You know, nobody's really expecting you to do that right now, Coach.
Yeah, well, look, nobody expected us to really do anything this season.
Earlier on the show, Bengals quarterback Joe Burrow, Commanders head coach Dan Quinn, Fox Sports college football analyst Bruce Feldman, coming up, host of Nothing Personal podcast, David Sampson, and now it's Rich Eisen.
That's right, hour number three of the show on the air. We just said farewell to Bruce Feldman and the first two guests zooming in hour one, Joe Burrow, and then the coach who's trying to send Joe Burrow to 0-3, Dan Quinn, top of hour number two. That's how we've been rolling today. Baker Mayfield just had some interesting comments about Bryce Young. And Steve Young was a guest of the What the Football podcast with Susie Schuster and Amy Trask yesterday. Some really great stuff from him on Bryce Young as well as Tua. Mike McDaniel also speaking on that front. We got a lot of sound bites to work through before we say goodbye to you here on the Roku Sports Channel and this Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio affiliate, Sirius XM, Odyssey, TuneIn, and more. But we say hello to our next guest, a man who sat in this chair expertly when I was not here many a moon ago, the host of the Nothing Personal podcast and former executive of the Marlins. Good to see you, David Sampson. How are you, brother? Good.
How are you?
Oh, nice round of applause.
It's not bad.
Why are they asking you for a bag of candy like it's Halloween? What I miss?
This is David's thing, man.
What, do you have a bag of candy?
I think when I sat in your chair, well, any day, yes, I always have a bag of candy, but for 20 minutes or 40 minutes, I don't have it with me. But I did it very in the hotel this morning, and I will be able to get back to it when we're done.
I was wondering, like, trick or treat?
Giant bag.
Giant.
It's all from childhood when I wasn't allowed to have candy except on Halloween, and then I was allowed to have one piece as long as it was wrapped, and I had only till Thanksgiving, and then I had to throw it all away.
Sounds like you were raised by a Jewish mother, David.
It certainly does. But I have good teeth now, I guess.
So there's true. That. Got that. Very good. Well, any specific candy that we're talking about here, or what?
Jelly beans, black jelly beans, licorice jelly beans, Good and Plenty.
Good and Plenty. So you're Good and Plenty over the
Good and Fruity.
Good and Fruity.
Yeah.
Juju. No. It's Good and Fruity and Good and Plenty. You go Good and Plenty. Over
I go Good and
Fruity?
Plenty. And I don't do any of the dots or any of the things that can actually ruin your teeth.
Okay.
I don't want the sticky stuff.
Good to know. Good to know.
David, you're also missing a nice little piece of jewelry you had last time.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Oh, you brought a World Series ring? Oh,
I wore the ring to host your show.
It was as big as your coffee mug.
But to be a guest on the show, I decided to go fully ringless. And I did offer a trade of the World Series ring for the wedding ring. But it didn't work.
Didn't work?
No, I wanted to.
Nothing personal. Very good. All right. David Sampson here on The Rich Eisen Show. All right. So we've got ourselves a surprising tight race here for the American League wildcard. The Tigers are coming on strong. And, man, if they make it instead of the Twins, A.J. Hinch would be the manager of a team going against the Houston Astros. Sign me up for that one, sir. That would be amazing. With all due respect to the Twins and their fans.
The saddest thing for me is that it's after Miguel's gone. And we talked a lot. Miguel Cabrera, he signed that huge contract.
Right.
And it really became an albatross. And I hate to say that about Miguel because he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. But the Tigers are just a different team this year. And A.J. Hinch got the opportunity to manage again after he was fired with the whole garbage can scandal.
Indeed.
But they have a good team. They have the likely Cy Young winner as their starting pitcher, and they have a Twins team that they've struggled a bit of late.
So, Skubal, you think, is the American League Cy Young going into the final 10 days of the season here?
I'm afraid he's going to win, and I say
what
I'm
do you
afraid.
Mean afraid? What do you
if,
mean?
If you gave me a choice, I think Cy Young should be the best pitcher. Give me a choice. Who do I want on my team? I want Emmanuel Clase. I want the best closer in the game, because being in a clubhouse after a blown save, it is the worst feeling in the world.
Yeah, we were talking before you sat down, Brockman pointing out, go ahead and say your point, Chris. I mean,
we don't talk a lot about the Guardians. Jose Ramirez is most likely going to get a 40-40 this year, and there's not a peep about it.
Because we're going to see 50-50?
Because everyone's just hung up on Ohtani 50-50 watch.
There's such Ohtani mania. And I'm not an Ohtani hater. I can't believe what I watch with him. But if it's to the detriment of some of the other great stories in baseball, I don't like that. And the Guardians, it is a small market. There's no question. But to be good the way they are, the Royals, the Guardians, yep, the Twins, there's a bunch of small revenue teams that are doing really well, but it's being overshadowed by the Yankees and Dodgers, which makes baseball happy. But there's some good stories out there.
But about Ohtani.
Exactly.
But about Ohtani, do you think it's, I mean, Dave Roberts was kind of coy. Is he really thinking of pitching Ohtani coming back from Tommy John surgery in a all or nothing situation, potentially in a playoffs? Do you really think that's possible?
It would be insanity.
Why?
Now, relievers can come back faster. There is no question about that. But here's the investment they made for him to pitch every 5 days.
But this year, to get them through with the bullpen looking the way it is, I'm not saying they're going to start him against some team, but why not have him come in the ninth inning and treat everybody like he treated Mike Trout in the World Baseball Classic? Like, that would be
a great theater
way to do it, right?
It's great theater, but desperation is such an awful cologne, and the Dodgers are desperate. They need to win. They view their title in 20 as sort of an asterisk bubble title.
They view it that way.
They do. If you would ask them, it's the same way. I think that LeBron James, I think that he would say, I'd like to win one with the Lakers that's not COVID-related. And I think people in the industry, as a fan, you love it. They won the title. But for the Dodgers, they're not a dynasty. If they've won one ring, they have as many rings as I do since 2000. Is that right? I think that
you are correct.
Right.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, no.
And I think the Yankees have as many rings as I do since
03. Well, moving on.
But anyway, I digress. Why would you put a player at risk? It's very different. The reason we didn't like players in the World Baseball Classic is, think about Ohtani, Trout. They're dialing it up like it's July and it's only March. Ohtani would be doing the same thing.
Well, but again, you'd have to, if he feels good and they feel good about it, and he can give you an inning, like, you're not going to maybe throw him on back-to-back nights, but he can give you an inning to give you a win in a, you know, second round of the playoffs, which the Dodgers are going to make automatically, right? Like, you got to think hard about that if you have that ability. Certainly with the lineup, you're assuming with him in that lineup, they're not going to have the same hitting problems in October as they've had historically, one would think. It's baseball. You do not know. And the way to get through, though, is to have 90 guys who can throw 100 miles an hour coming out of the pen and take a one-run lead from the third inning and make it cash. And you got Ohtani. You got to think hard about that, sir.
Boy, it sounds tempting the way you lay it out. The problem is that the season ends in October either way, and then you're only a few months from spring training. Mm-hmm. And for the Dodgers to have sustained return on investment, the Ohtani investment, both on and off the field, you need him both pitching and hitting. It's been great what he's done this year as a DH, but they didn't sign him to be the DH. And so my only concern would be going into that clubhouse, you can't ask the player. They lie to you. They do nothing. Oh, I'm fine. I'm ready to go. No one wants to get taken out of a game. Everyone who's injured says they're ready to come back. So you can't use that. So then you have to think, is it in the best interest of our team? Short term, the way you lay it out, it sounds amazing. but the short term turns into mid and long term very, very quickly.
So who do you put your marker on in the National League to make the World Series? The Mets have an Acuna of their own now out of the blue.
That's true.
Holy cow. And it looks like they're going to beat out the Braves. Obviously, they shouldn't. I'm sorry to put the Ziggy on him, TJ,
don't
like
get
that.
Ahead of yourself. Boy.
The Padres are 20 over since the All-Star game. The Phillies are the Phillies. So I just name a few. There's always the Brewers lying out there, and the Diamondbacks made it last year out of the blue. Who do you have in the National League if you want to choose?
I like the step process.
Okay.
And the step process to me means that the Phillies are ready. And I think that I look at their team. I look at a short series and a long series when you can go Nola Wheeler, and then you have Sanchez Suarez. Starting pitching matters. Their bullpen, it's going to be okay. And their lineup, JT's hitting 260, 250 right now, down at the bottom of the lineup, and he's the best catcher in baseball. I think that Harper wants the ring. I think they're going to be in the World Series.
Okay, now let's talk American League. The Yankees have caught fire of late, or at least, you know, it just seems like that they're winning two out of three.
It ain't bad.
Well, I mean, the Clay Holmes creative bullpen that they've created. Seems to be working right now. Soto hit his 40th home run last night. He and Judge might combine for 100 on the season when it's all said and done. I'll tell you, just as a Yankee fan, the Gerrit Cole giving Rafael Devers a free pass over the weekend is the last thing I want to see going into the playoffs. Even though they're not going to face Devers, like what the hell was that all about? But it's all positive, I think.
Except that, and
who knows what's going to happen with their closer or the bullpen. But it seems like everybody seems to have problems like that. How do you handicap the American League going into this?
So just to make you feel better in the postseason, as you know, when the Dodgers won the World Series, wasn't it Urias who was on the mound to finish the World Series as a starter? So often you move your starters into the bullpen. So I'm not as worried about Holmes. I don't know that I would give him the ball necessarily in the ninth inning in a playoff game. But the Yankees offense, when Judge and Soto are going, they are hard to beat. When Stanton is healthy, which he is, it makes it almost like a murderer's row. And there's something about the Yankees, though, that they just have not been able to get over the top with this team. So what's the difference this year? Soto. And Juan Soto is someone who doesn't have a free agent contract. He hasn't signed. He's wanted to sign for years. He's wanted that long-term deal. Remember, he turned down the Nationals deal for $440, and he's been offered and promised more by his agent, Scott Boras. He wants a World Series ring in this platform year. I love the Yankees making it to October, and the dream for baseball would be Yankees-Dodgers. That is, they go to bed at night dreaming about that possibility. They really do. I mean, I have better things to dream about, but this is the year where it really is the most possible, given those teams, that it could happen.
So you like the Yankees to make the World Series out of the American League? For real?
I worry.
Take on the Guardians, and Steve Kwan, you know, bloops one over Chisholm's head, and then suddenly winds up on second. They scratch out a run or two. Yankees, you know, they walk Soto, they walk Judge, nobody else hits, or they get a lead, and you know, Clay Holmes blows it. I mean, like, I just gave you a nightmare scenario, but that's a way for the Yankees to not make it.
That's sort of a Tuesday scenario. The question is, will that happen in October? And it's happened for years. I think the last time they're in the World Series is 09. So, and it's not that they have low payrolls. It's not that they have bad teams. It's just that every year something seems to happen in October to them. And I'm just, one of these years, if it doesn't happen, how do you keep Boone around? How do you keep Cashman around? Eventually, you have to pay the price. And I think they can avoid it by winning the pennant this year.
Do you think the Yankees need to win the pennant or the World Series to keep Soto?
Oh, I don't think that that's related at all. I think it's a matter of whether Hal Steinbrenner goes full George or not. Because meaning Hal has tried his whole career as an owner to not be his father. He showed way more patience than George ever did. He is not on the cover of the Post every day the way George was. It's just a different way.
If he was his dad, Boone would have been fired and rehired and fired. And this would be, he'd be on his third run with the Yankees now if it was his dad.
True.
So true.
But, you know,
let
me tell you this. Speaking on behalf of Yankee fans, if they lose Soto because Hal doesn't pony up the most for him, then I don't know how to respond to something like that. And I understand TJ's Mets are owned by, you know, Bobby Axelrod, even though everybody involved with billions and Cohen says he ain't him. Okay. I don't care. Like, that's the New York Yankees. They've got the Yes Network. You can make a case the Yankees are what? The second most lucrative operation that Hal's part of? He and Jerry Jones are part of a group together that puts names on stadiums around the world. Come on now. You can't be outspent if you're Hal for Juan Soto. You just can't.
You're not going to believe this, but the Yankees are actually not all that profitable operationally. And I know you're not going to believe it. So, we can debate it and talk about it. But I knew it. I knew it. I knew it.
Come on.
So let me just say.
Please, enlighten.
The Yes Network, in terms of their profit that comes from that, it is true that it used to actually pour out money because we, as the Marlins, would want some of that. The Yankees were always hiding that to show that they were operationally losing money, but they were making money with this hand. The Red Sox would do that with Nesson. Mm-hmm. But the world's changed. A, their ownership in the Yes Network is way lower than you would think. It's not 100%. It's not even close.
Okay.
They have partners. And B, as you know, regional sports networks,
I know,
in the toilet. They're just not generating the amount of money they used to. All of that said, Boris is in the best position ever as Soto's agent. He's got Steve Cohen against Hal Steinbrenner, Yankees against Mets. It's like it's a dream come true for any single agent and player. The other thing that you should think about, which is why I think he'll stay with the Yankees,
okay,
is that Steve Cohen is nearing the end of 5 years owning the team. And when you own a team for that amount, when you buy a team, I don't want to get too technical, but you get amazing tax benefits, amazing, for 5 years. And then those major benefits go away. Oh. So all of the losses that Steve Cohen has had, he's been able to really deal with very, very smartly and well. But if you listen to Steve Cohen, he's not interested in running these $300 million payrolls going forward. They just don't have the revenue for it.
Ooh. Hold on a second. So when you say taxes, you're talking about within Major League Baseball or just the federal and state and
IRS
local taxes?
You get, it's something called depreciation, amortization. Right. When you buy a team, you get to depreciate player contracts. It's the craziest thing. It's not against the law. It's actually right there.
But so that party's about to end is what
that
you're
party ends. And when that party ends, your taxes as an owner look way different. Way different.
All right.
Is that why David Tepper's is firing coaches?
David Tepper's firing coaches because he is the most meddling, unsuccessful owner. He finally has made our ownership group look so good, which is, I mean, how hard is that?
Sounds like you, do you know the man? Do you know David?
No, that's why it's nothing personal. He may be the greatest guy in the world.
Right.
I'm saying going through, cycling through, and the whole thing with Bryce Young was priceless. Oh, okay. The coach said, he wasn't involved. Can you imagine?
Well, he said that he spoke. Canales said that he spoke to the owner, but he wasn't going to reveal what he said.
Keep that private.
But my point is, like, if you're the owner, if you're Tepper, you're telling the coach, I hired you to fix the guy. I okayed, you know, Bryce over CJ because I enjoyed the young man when I got to meet him and I had, you know, dinner with him and his whole crew. And I, you know, and but, you know, the people who I had were telling me, he's the guy, he's the kid, and I spent all this, you know, cash, it's almost $40 million in cash that this all these deals cost. DJ Moore, I okayed all of these portions of the acquisition, and you told me you could fix him, and now you're telling me we should bench him? You can't tell me Tepper told him to bench the kid. Is that what you're
1,000%, that's what I'm saying.
Come on.
You think that the coach went to the owner and said, you know what? Yesterday, I said, he's my guy. But I went to bed. I had some dreams. I woke up this morning. He's not my guy. I want Andy Dalton. David, is there any chance you'll let me do that? Come on, the owner. I've seen an owner do this. Our owner did it.
With who?
Let's start with what he did with Miguel Cabrera, forcing call-ups. Pudge Rodriguez, sign him. These are the ones that worked. The ones that didn't work were the signings. Name every one of our catchers. From Salta Lamacchia on to John Buck, two guys who I like very well. Heath Bell. Mm-hmm. Mark Burley, the extra year. And my point is, he's not the only owner who does this. Owners get involved, but they only want to get credit when things work. When things don't work, they say, hey, we weren't involved.
So you're saying because my opinion would be, this kid's got to work. Because if this kid doesn't work, then what the hell did we trade all these people for? And what the hell did we do last year? And this has got to cash. And so You're saying he's now just completely reverse course.
He's embarrassed. He looks at his team and he reads. Owners read stuff. They watch your show. They pay attention to things that often people in the front office are not paying as much attention to.
Yeah.
And so he's quite embarrassed, as he should be. So you can't picture him going in after that game and saying, that's it. I don't want to see him
bench
anymore.
Bench the kid. Oof. I don't.
You think the coach who was brought in to fix him had the gall to go to the owner and
maybe,
say.
Maybe. I know that sounds crazy. I know that sounds crazy.
It's 2 weeks.
Or he's going into the press and saying, this is our quarterback, because he knows the owner won't countenance anything else. And he goes in and he just has an epiphany and saying, we can't do this right now.
Overnight? That's a weird night, isn't it?
I mean,
listen, is it possible that he did have that change of heart and convinced the owner and the GM in one set of meetings to change like that?
No, that sounds fantastic. I know that. That doesn't sound real. And it sounds more real to have one of the most, you know, with a track record, impetuous individuals come in and make an impetuous move. Like, you're benching the kid.
And that's what owners do. And they say, and when you say, hey, can you sleep on it? Owners don't like sleeping on stuff. They like to be at the height of their emotion making decisions. And your job as the president of a team is to try to stop that. Mm. But you can't stop it every time.
What do you think is best? What do you think is my scenario or David's scenario?
Oh, I think.
You think David's scenario?
I think Tepper was 100% involved.
TJ? No, I know he's involved, but I mean, of course he's involved.
The guy is emotional and makes hair trigger decisions.
Well, think about it, though. If you're the coach, right, that guy, and he wasn't your guy, right? So do you feel he had that connection to him?
He was hired to be that guy.
I know, but when you get there, maybe he's like, look, what do you want me to do? You could have had CJ Stroud, and you gave me this guy. What am I supposed to do?
He also has a 6-year contract.
Oh my!
Yeah, but Tepper will pay off anybody.
That's what I mean. Not to coach. Money no matter what. Hey, yeah. Bench the kid. Great. I'm getting paid. Cool. Andy Dalton, let's go win some games.
That's true.
We loved paying managers not to manage. We're so good at that.
Just free money, David.
Oh my gosh. The Nothing Personal podcast with David Sampson. Get it wherever you get your podcasts. So just to wrap it up, you are taking Yankees Phillies or Yankees Dodgers? You said Phillies.
I'm
right?
doing Yankees Phillies, but Phillies. Baseball wants Yankees Dodgers.
I understand. Yeah. So holy Chase Utley, Batman. We got ourselves a rematch there.
Craig Kimbrel just got DFA'd.
What do you think, Dan?
Baltimore slightly panicked. I think Kimbrel just gave up 6 runs the other night. He has been pretty ineffective, and the Orioles have seen their lead over the Yankees disappear. They're now a wild card team.
4 back of the Yankees now with 11 to play.
So it's done, but they will be a wild card team.
They will.
But he is not. He they don't want to give him the ball at the end of games, and that's the end of them.
Listen, I know the Royals aren't killing too many people lately either, but when you think the way that they're playing right now, the Royals take out the O's if they face each other right now?
Feels like it.
Right?
Bobby Witt back-to-back 30-30s, first time ever for a shortstop.
You know? Okay. And our new friend, Vinny Pasquantino.
Vinny.
What's up, Vinny?
He'd be the MVP, but for Judge.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
He's that good. Yeah. And he's signed long-term by a low-revenue team.
We loved meeting him.
Smart deal.
We loved him. We met him in Kansas City. We had him on. Yeah. He was great. And he brought Vinny with him too, because Vinny told him to do this show because he watches this show because he likes my Jets takes.
He's a Jet fan.
Who doesn't?
He showed up with an AFC championship game 81. T-shirt from 1981. The Jets
vintage.
When's your next vacation? I missed it here.
You missed out, David.
By the way,
gone all summer.
Susie says the same thing to me too. You know, not because she wants to go on vacation with me. She wants the same thing you want, which is to sit in this chair. She likes.
Sorry, David. I mean, Susie kind of has.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Unfortunately for you.
No.
We love you.
We love the rotation that we have with Susie and you and Tom Pelissero and Mike Hill and Kirk Morrison.
Yep.
Right? Andrew Siciliano.
A great squad.
So thanks for coming on, sir. I'll let you know. Thanks for letting me know you're in town. It's great to see you.
It's always good to be here. It's good to see everyone.
Nothing Personal podcast right
Bring
here with David Sampson on the Rich Eisen Show. All right, so, boy, there's lots going on in the National Football League. We'll do our best to cover that. From Caleb Williams all the way to Baker Mayfield, I'm Bryce Young next. Are you struggling to close deals? Business-to-business selling is tougher than ever, and that's why I want to tell you about LinkedIn Sales Navigator. LinkedIn Sales Navigator is a sales intelligence platform that helps professionals effectively prospect and engage high-value customers, drive higher revenue, and increase sales performance. Sales Navigator helps you target the right buyers, surface key signals such as job changes or which accounts you should prioritize, and shows you hidden allies so you can find those buyers that are most likely to convert. Fueled by LinkedIn's 1 billion member platform, Sales Navigator gives you the most up-to-date first-party data, enabling you to unlock conversations with the people that matter. Right now, you can try LinkedIn Sales Navigator and get a 60-day free trial at linkedin.com/direct. That is linkedin.com/direct for a 60-day free trial. Let LinkedIn Sales Navigator help you sell like a superstar today. Just go to linkedin.com/direct and get started. Hey, people, let's talk about leaf filter. It's that time of year where the leaves fall down off the trees and right into your gutters. And the worst part about that is you probably don't even know that your gutter is filled up with leaves until it's too late. That's where leaf filter comes into play. Even if you are a DIY homeowner, leaf filter is there to help you. If you're a low maintenance kind of homeowner, kind of like me, it's so convenient to never think about gutters at all, and that's where leaf filter comes again into play. Leaf filter uses award-winning patented technology to keep out everything from your gutters but water. No holes, gaps, or large openings for debris to get through. Every installation comes with free inspection, estimate, and a lifetime guarantee, and a leaf filter trusted pro will clean out, realign, and seal your gutters before installing leaf filter. Protect your home and never clean out gutters again with leaf filter. America's number one gutter protection system. Schedule your free inspection and get up to 30% off your entire purchase at leaffilter.com/rich. That's a free inspection and up to 30% off at leaffilter.com/rich. See representative for warranty details. Promotion is $20 off plus a 10% senior or military discount. One discount per household. Listeners, please welcome a real finance nerd from our sponsor, NerdWallet. Hey, Sean.
Hey, Rich. Thanks for having me.
We all know NerdWallet for their credit card comparisons, but there's more to it than that, right?
So much more. Even for credit cards, it's not the basic this card versus that card. With us, you can filter for features you want, add your top cards to a comparison table, and get access to exclusive offers.
Smarter tools, smarter financial decisions.
Exactly. Beyond credit cards, we research and review thousands of other financial products, from high-yield savings accounts to mortgage lenders, so you can find the smartest products.
Hear that, world? NerdWallet is not just credit cards.
Thanks for that important PSA, Rich.
And where exactly should people go to compare and find these credit cards and savings account and mortgage rates and more?
NerdWallet.com/learn more.
Thanks again to NerdWallet, our paid sponsor of this segment. NerdWallet, finance smarter.
Hey, that's my line. Finance smarter, y'all. NerdWallet Compare Inc., NMLS 1617539.
So I tell Mark Norman and Shane Gillis, my two openers.
Yes.
I say, hey, we're doing the Mullet Arena. We'll do two shows. We do one show Saturday night. Sells out at Friday. Sells out at Wednesday, at Thursday. Doing four shows. Guys, it's a little treat. Super Bowl tickets on me. Good seats. $125,000.
Well, you're going for the primo if you're talking about that.
I didn't know. My wife called and she goes, they just took $125,000 out of our account. Is something going on? Do you need to talk to me about something? Are you going to South Africa for a month? I was like, no, we're going to the Super Bowl. I don't even like either of the teams. This is the rub.
Oh no.
They don't tell you your seats until Friday.
Get out of here!
You don't know where you're sitting. I don't even know who I gave the money to!
Oh my God!
I don't even know! My manager just goes, I need $125,000! And I gave it to somebody! I feel like Bernie Madoff's client! Like, I'm just sitting there going, so you think Bitcoin's gonna really do well? I hope this money turns out. Matt Damon said we're cool. I heard Tom Brady's involved. This should be a win-win, right?
I'm sorry, I'm laughing so hard and crying.
I don't even know when I get my ticket.
It's the greatest heist ever.
My hands are so sick, but I still limp.
Spoiler alert.
If I have bad seats, I'm going to be living. I hate the Super Bowl. I'm going to be rooting against both teams.
Oh, my God.
God, all of Bert's appearances, please check them all out on our YouTube channel. They're just the best. They are the best. Always. Bert brings it every time. Every time. On the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. You know, I saw a tweet from the Bussin account where it was a photograph of Sam Darnold and Baker Mayfield in their Carolina Panthers jerseys, and they're like, you know, don't show this to Panthers fans, right?
Yeah.
Or Bryce Young, don't show this to Bryce Young or whatever. And Chris Long retweeted saying, show it to Bryce Young as motivation.
Right.
Yeah, that's okay. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah, like
you can move on and still find success.
Right. Yeah. They're 4-0 quarterbacks in different places now.
Right, exactly.
Right? And so Baker Mayfield was asked about Bryce Young today. And his opinion of the number one overall pick, just like Baker, being benched 2 games into the season and 18 games overall, it still is one of the most stunning benchings I can recall in the NFL. And I know he's looked lost and he's looked terrible, and the fact that he needs to take a break, like you can make a case like the guy needs to be given a breather, right? But first overall picks are not supposed to need breathers,
right?
But the Saints eviscerated him, and the Chargers did too. And we heard Daniel Jeremiah come on earlier this week saying he's missing high school throws that he made in high school easy, and now he's even making mistakes or having trouble completing those. This is what Baker Mayfield had to say.
Obviously, mine didn't happen in the same time frame with Bryce, but quarterback's hard, especially for young guys, when you're not surrounded with the pieces that you know, not given the opportunity to have success. And so that's a lot of the time guys have the talent, they might have the brains, but they don't have the right opportunity, the right fit. I mean, I'm sitting here right now in a way better fit than the other places I've been. And that's not to put other teams down, but it's a matter of the pieces around you, the coaches, and for Bryce, a guy that, you know, I can relate to this, finding that belief within yourself again, and he'll get it. His story's far, far from finished.
I love hearing that, and it's excellent advice. I just don't know if it's going to happen with Carolina. Because Daniel said it's one of the worst rosters he's seen, too. Because you need to surround, which is why Caleb Williams, so much sky-high hopes for him, is he's got weapons all over the place.
Yep.
I guess when Keenan Allen gets healthy, they'll be full complement. But you can have weapons, but no offensive line. You can have no offensive line, and you can have weapons. You can have a coach that's on a hot seat, which is why you've been drafted so damn high, and that coach gets bounced. Or you got an owner that bounces the coach that is hired specifically for you to be drafted, like Frank Reich was in last year in Carolina, and he gets fired in the middle of the season. And then, you know, hire somebody who's never done it before at a head coaching level in Dave Canales, and for whatever reason, you know, with a new offense, they didn't play him in the preseason until the last game against a bunch of Bills players that didn't even make the team. And so, you know, there is a nature versus nurture situation. There's no question about it. Sam Darnold comes into the league, and it's crazy. We keep talking about how it wasn't a good fit for the Jets. Do you know who Sam Darnold's first coach in the NFL was? Is Baker Mayfield's current one, where it's a great fit because the players are all there. And also, talk about a great fit. It's amazing how these things work. Yep. If you told Baker Mayfield, this is a great fit for you. It's you following Tom Brady. And yet?
It's working.
Right. And the part of the great fit is they have a general manager in Jason Light who's like, we're going to move heaven and earth and ask everybody to just, you know, collectively buy in and bring everybody back. Everybody back. Let's keep the band together. And then Sam Darnold gets a new situation in Minnesota. You take a look at the NFC North. Two quarterbacks in the NFC North are all high draft choices. Goff 1, Darnold 3, that had to go find something somewhere else. And another 2-0 quarterback is Geno Smith, who had a decade in between opportunities. And the crazy thing is the through line between this guy's opportunity, like Geno Smith, and it's being successful, and Baker Mayfield's opportunity for success and being successful, is the guy who helped spark them both is the guy who just benched Bryce Young and was hired to make him work. And it's not a fit there just yet. Crazy. Can't make it up. Can't make it up. Zach Wilson's first opportunity. How'd that work for him? Not so much.
Yeah.
Justin Fields' first opportunity. How'd that work out? So just because you're on another opportunity, it's just, again, you're not supposed to be benched 18 games into your career after your first overall pick. I mean, what did Troy start off after he went 1-15? Was he 0-2?
I have to look that up.
You know? Good question. Jimmy wasn't going to bench him.
Nope.
But he also had Irv with Emmett around the corner.
Well, remember, Steve Walsh came in, so he could have, you know, been benched. Didn't work out.
Yeah, let's see. Troy was 0-11 in his rookie year.
Right, and then his next year? Could you imagine?
7-9.
Yeah, but what did they start? No, they won the first game.
Okay, there you go.
And then lost the next three, so they were 1-3.
Wow.
1-3.
Yeah. So yeah. Troy Aikman started his career 1-14.
Correct.
Bryce Young, 2-16, benched. But, you know, the talent level is a different story. Both first overall drafted quarterbacks, totally different. I mean, there is a nature versus nurture aspect to this.
No doubt.
Now, we just went over the whole Bryce Young scenario that's been played out. Steve Young was on What the Football with Susie Schuster and Amy Trask. Superb conversations. Awful Announcing just posted a really great write-up about it. Man, I love Steve Young. One thing, though, I want to play for you in support of this show and pod that you can see on the Rich Eisen Show YouTube channel, as well as getting it wherever you get your audio podcasts, was Steve on the subject matter of Brock Purdy coming off of his first loss of the season. And, you know, no Debo now on top of no McCaffrey. And Susie asked Steve what the offense will look like now over the next couple of weeks. And they're taking on the Minnesota Vikings this week. I mean, they took on the Minnesota Vikings last week. They're taking on the Rams this week in the Rams home opener. And the Rams don't have Puka and Cooper Kupp. But anyway, Steve's answer about what the Niners offense needs to look like with Brock Purdy and what they should do with Brock certainly was of interest.
If you were to finish the sentence with Debo and McCaffrey out, the Niners offense will?
Efficiency is their game. Now, if Brock wanted to and Kyle wanted to lean into Brock being more dynamic, in other words, let's have Brock run the ball out of the huddle. Let's have him run the sweep. Let's have him run the quarterback draw. Let's figure out how to do the RPOs and really take advantage of it. That's not the game right now. And if we were going to do that, now's the time with injury to kind of start to think about Brock being the 11th rusher the guy that can rush the football out of the huddle. But I think right now what you describe, Susie, your question is, if they're going to stay with the same plan, then the demand for Brock is even greater. He has to be even more honed on his efficiency to find players that aren't necessarily the top of their, the top of the game like Debo, the top of the game like CMC. And now I've got to figure out how to get the ball to them, have them get open. And I'm going to, inevitably, Susie, he's going to have to do more. He's going to have to move around more. He's going to have to put himself at risk more. And he's going to have to do things that aren't necessarily his strong suit. And that might provide great things in the future for when they get to the Super Bowl this year, or have to face Patrick Mahomes or face Lamar Jackson. The thing about the 49ers, when they face Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, any big, strong, prototypical quarterback today, they lose. So getting their guy more like that, under duress, like with injuries, might be a good thing. We'll see how it goes.
What do you think of that one, huh? They lose against a guy that, like those other guys, get Purdy up to speed in that respect by giving him another weapon, his legs, which we know we've had fun with. Yeah. With how, you know, what Kittle said that he
Quadzilla.
He's got the Pokemon version of Bosa's thighs, you know? I mean, I don't know. It's kind of crazy. He'd say, let's put him at risk when you got Josh Dobbs, the pastronaut behind him.
Unleash him a little bit. Why not?
Right?
Guys are out. Guys are going to have to step up. Might as well have one of them be the quarterback.
And he says, while there's injuries right now, and so you got, what are you going to do with McCaffrey out? Well, we're going to run Jordan Mason, and then we're going to start running Debo more. Mm-hmm. Well, Debo's out. So you replace Debo with Purdy running it. Because he has that game in him, man.
He does. We saw it in the playoffs.
Yeah, at the Rams, home for the Patriots, home for the Cardinals, at the Seahawks are their next four, with the Chiefs and Cowboys and Bucks behind them. Oh, my goodness. And visits to Green Bay and Buffalo wrapped around their series finisher with Seattle. That's the way it's. We're going all the way into December.
I mean, you'd like to win four of those, but 3-3 before the bye, I think, is pretty realistic. Get healthy after the bye week and hit the home stretch. So that
you'd be 4-4 going into the bye.
Yeah, I think that's probably pie in the sky. You know,
just an interesting thought right there from Steve Young. Is let's run them, and then you'll be better off against the biggest quarterbacks in the game that you've been losing to if you've got Purdy having more of a dynamic game around him.
A little bit more of a threat, two-way threat.
Certainly when your normal threat would be McCaffrey and Debo is right. Your two-way threats.
Right. Guys that can do everything.
Running and catching.
Right, who can do both things at an extremely high
level.
So
you'll replace him with a guy who can run it and throw it. Throw it and run it.
We'll get a little more hurt, you know, dimension to Purdy's game.
Wouldn't that be something? Steve Young was also quite eloquent on the Tua Tagovailoa front. As a matter of fact, while they were recording the pod, Tua was placed on injured reserve. And they got Steve's fresh thoughts on that. So definitely check out the What the Football pod with Susie and Amy. It's really a great conversation.
You like that move, putting Tua on IR?
Absolutely. We got to give him some time, man.
I agree.
Give him some time to literally and figuratively clear his head. You have, I mean, and instead, could you imagine they're like, well, he passed concussion protocol.
Yeah, he's back out there.
Now, you've heard him say, the word is that he wants to keep playing.
Yep.
And I have heard that for him to make his injury guaranteed money, he's got to be told you can't play. Right. So if he goes, you know what, I've thought about it, I'm kind of cleared, but I just don't want to do it anymore. I've been told it's possible he doesn't get that injury guaranteed money.
Yeah, he'd give up to $120 million.
So that's why you might be hearing he still wants to play, or he just still wants to play because he's a football player. I don't know what that situation is. We'll see that play out. So let's IR him. Four games. Skylar Thompson going into Seattle. That's not an easy spot for him. But here's what Mike McDaniel had to say today about the latest news that broke on Tuesday about injured reserve for Tua.
Did Tua try to fight you on it at all, or was this something that he was totally on board with?
Well, I'd hope if he was fighting me, I'd be bruised up. Because I'm just not that physically imposing. The great thing about IR is there's, for a month time, there's no timelines. And I always say that, but I'm not sure if it, people quite understand, like, if you set a timeline based upon the information you have today, how much of whatever goes on is fulfilling the prophecy of that timeline? And is that the right thing? That's especially with competitors and stuff that can get, sometimes you can do more harm than good. I think regardless, not worrying about anything as it relates to timelines is very empowering for him as a human being to recover from injury. And that's steadfast, the only motivating factor that you have when you're dealing with players and their careers and their injuries.
That makes total sense to me. I know for some that might be like, sounds like a bunch of, you know, gobbledygook or whatever, but it makes sense that for a month, there's no timeline. We're not worried about a timeline. When's he going to come back? Or, wow, that didn't look very good offensively. Are you going to rush him back? Is he thinking about coming back? Or what's the latest on this whole thing? And let's be all over you and the organization and Tua to get an answer. We need an answer because look at the way Skylar Thompson's playing. There's no timeline, folks. We have IR'd him. This thing is now given free rein for a month to be run down and looked at by medical staff and let them think about it. So makes total sense to me. Just remove him from the equation because what we saw was frightening. And if he's thinking about playing again, then let's get a clear month and figure that whole thing out. And what does it mean? And what do the experts say? Independent and staff and medical. Let's give it some time. My goodness. So, you know, I don't know what they're going to do if Skylar Thompson doesn't perform well. But, I mean, the guy he played a playoff game. Didn't look all that great, but we'll see. And I'll forget it. Don't even put the schedule up because we're just going to give the guy a month and we'll see what happens with the Miami Dolphins. So I'm glad to have heard about the IRing of Tua, actually. We'll take a break. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Wrap this puppy up and get you set for the rest of the week. Let's talk DoorDash, people. If your family's like mine, it probably is. You want something to eat? Your kids want something else to eat. How do you handle it all? How do you make sure everybody's happy? DoorDash, that's how you make sure everybody's happy. The food delivery app is the most awesome on-demand delivery platform that you can go get to make sure that food comes to the places you like right to your table. It's awesome, especially now that football's finally back, which means it's time to order your favorite game day food, snacks, and drinks on DoorDash without missing a single play. And here's how I can help you. Use my promo code, RICHEISEN24, for 50% off up to a $10 value when you spend $15 or more dollars on your first order. Limited time offer, terms apply. Promo's not valid for orders containing alcohol. DoorDash, your door to game day greatness, your door to more. Download the DoorDash app now to order your game day favorites and use my promo code, RICHEISEN24. Must be 21 or older to order alcohol. Drink responsibly. Alcohol available only in select markets. Say goodbye to complicated, expensive, and uncertain shipping, and say hello to an advantage with USPS Ground Advantage shipping from the United States Postal Service. Every business faces challenges, but shipping shouldn't be one of them. So keep things simple with clear upfront pricing and no unexpected surcharges for Saturday deliveries, residential deliveries, or fuel. Keep things affordable with some of the lowest prices out there, helping you counter the rising costs of doing business with a budget-friendly alternative. And keep things reliable with on-time ground shipping, ensuring your shipments get to where they need to go while maintaining your hard-earned reputation. USPS Ground Advantage is your ticket to easy, cost-effective, and dependable shipping. It's the complete delivery service your business needs to rise above the competition. There's never been a better time to turn shipping to your advantage. Learn how at usps.com/advantage. USPS Ground Advantage. Simple, affordable, reliable. So we've had quite a lot of conversation, excellent conversation today, right?
Oh, you know, yeah.
Joe Burrow leading the show. I'm seeing that's clanking around the Bengals.
Joe Burrow.
Bengals fans are very passionate on Twitter.
They are. I love it.
Yeah.
I just love it. They love Burrow, and they're just...
As they should.
They're great. Fun. They're fun Burrow. Fan base. They sure are. And Dan Quinn said some great things, too. And Bruce Feldman, some fun, like great deep conversation about Arch and David Sampson about the baseball playoffs and his two cents about what David Tepper might be doing behind the scenes, right, mm-hmm. in Carolina. But here is the soundbite of the day, though. hit it. Go ahead and hit it.
Hey, TJ, listen, I'm golfing here with Rich, and I told him that we both had a bad week. But damn, your week was way worse than ours.
Damn.
Carl Anthony Towns, the Eagle fan.
Ignorance.
Who won yesterday?
Ignorant Eagle fans.
You're not even close.
You didn't keep score?
How did you measure yourself by height?
I don't play enough. I'm terrible. I'm not.
That's what the index is for.
But it's not it's just not worth it. And we were just hacking around, having fun. Like, okay. Not everything's got to be, you know, $5 a man and all that.
Then what's the point?
What's the point? It's a beautiful day. We're playing golf.
Thank you.
It's a beautiful day.
I played nine yesterday. No big deal.
Did you? Yeah. Oh, so you were occupied.
I was local.
You'll keep score. How do you measure yourself against other golfers? By height, usually? You're going to lose that one against him every time.
I mean, it was just an absolutely beautiful day.
It was.
In case you're saying it really wasn't a beautiful day, look at the sunlight there. Look at the sunlight.
It really wasn't.
Here
it
is. TJ.
We'll have to try.
Golfing here with Rich. And I told him that we both had a bad week. But damn, your week was way worse than ours.
Damn. Was it? No. I mean, Chris, the Eagles, they snatched defeat from the jaws of victory. We got our butt kicked from bell to bell.
You know? Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, having a good time.
Some of you are.
NFL's, there you go.
Happier times
with TJ and Carl Anthony Towns.
I'm going to have to call in some 7-foot backup.
TJ, I stopped trolling you early in the season.
I pay attention to your trolls, though, Mike.
NFL Sunday Ticket and YouTube TV. Don't miss a moment of the action, because when you bundle it together in the NFL season, you get the most live NFL games all in one place. The signature multi-view feature, it is awesome. Four games at once. You can actually create your own multi-view for all the games. Game changer for NFL and fantasy football fans alike. Sign up today at youtube.com/NFLST. Device and content restrictions apply. Local and national games on YouTube TV. NFL Sunday Ticket for out-of-market games excludes digital-only games. National Football League, National Football Conference, Northern Division review here. We got a whole roundup, news roundup.
Let's go.
Go ahead, hit the breaking news.
Hold on.
Here we go. You got to find it. Hit it, Mike, because my eyes see something.
My eyes see something in
Green Bay.
And my eyes see number 10.
Breaking news.
There we go.
Boom.
No,
that wasn't the good one.
What are we doing?
50 of them here.
I mean, I've done it in terms.
Boom. And my eyes see.
Breaking news.
Okay. I mean, we did that 10 minutes ago.
You know who's practicing for the Green Bay Packers?
I saw that.
Taking on the Tennessee Titans. His name is Jordan Love. Ooh. Let's see. All right. He's got the wrap on the left knee. Let's see. Well, it looks good. Not really moving around. Here we go. One more. Oh, that's a good hop step. Oh, there it goes.
Jogging.
Okay. Here's two things. First of all, that looks good. He'll need to have a little bit more giddy up if that's Jeffrey Simmons.
Yeah, because he's big and fast. So,
like, you know what I mean?
Pick it up a little bit.
That's the way, as you know, we're experts on taking a look at somebody coming back from injury. Oh,
that's
we have more video of Jordan Love. More video of Jordan Love. Hold on a minute. This is now, all right, what's he doing? Looks like he's moving at some music or what? Or is this just some sort of conditioning drill?
Look at that.
I don't know. All right.
He's working on something.
He's going to have to, you know, if he has those moves in the pocket, move out, you know, if that's Jeffrey Simmons.
Yeah. You don't want any part of Jeffrey Simmons.
Okay.
That's better than that. Hey, that looks like he was talking 3-6. Maybe it could be the 3, not the 6.
That looks like 1-3.
Oh, is that okay?
1-3.
That would be nice for the Green Bay Packers. Don't want to rush, though. By the way, if you got LaFleur saying, don't worry, we got this thing. We'll just run it 90 million times for 3,000 yards.
Mikey, that'd be nice for our Rams-Packers reset.
That's right.
Oh, you
is this thing on? Is this thing?
It is clearly on.
Yep, it was on.
Kevin O'Connell says J.J. Justin Jefferson participated in the walkthrough today. He's minute by minute.
That's a good song.
Hour by hour.
I keep holding on.
Who sang that?
That's the Doobie Brothers.
That's right.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, I didn't know he went Doobie Brothers on everybody.
Wow.
But
Michael McDonald.
Yeah, Justin Jefferson had the Michael old thigh bruise. Yeah. The old thigh. When you hear the word contusion.
Ooh.
So there's that. Caleb Williams, speaking of bruises and contusions and whatever. The Texans left a mark, and not just in the loss column for the Bears, their first, but Caleb Williams overall. Caleb Williams spoke today about the bounce back ability here.
Obviously, I had the two stupid mistakes that won't happen again. But I think rhythm, pass game, getting the ball to receivers. I think I got better with getting the ball out my hands. It felt like. Trying to stay in the right range of timing for the offensive lineman myself and the routes and things like that. So I think those are the few spots that I've gotten better at. Play your game, play within the way that we need to play, the way that I need to play for the offense, be efficient and make less mistakes each week. Don't make the same mistake over and over.
He also said it had been a while since he'd been hit that way. or hit as much as he got hit.
Interesting.
And he'll grow from it.
No doubt.
And everybody says there in Chicago that he takes the coaching and the advice very well. Apparently, the conversation is the NFL Films camera picked up after the game. Really wasn't terribly interested in getting the advice from C.J. Stroud. Did you see that?
I didn't take it that way.
I mean, C.J. was telling him, you know, don't take the hits, man.
Oh.
And you could see, like, he was...
It's like, okay, bro.
Like, I don't think he was uninterested in hearing it.
I didn't take it as uninterested.
No, he made this face after when C.J. told him, like, no, like, you should listen to me. Again, just right after a game when you've just gotten beat, that's why Joe Burrow... Everyone's making about the quick bro hug between him and Mahomes, and they went the other separate ways. And he's like, we spoke before the game and after the game. I just don't want to really, you know, I'm not dapping anybody up.
It was Belichick Mangini-esque.
I mean, there was a day like that at the office on Sunday night, man.
Second game.
Exactly. And it was just a long night. And he will grow from it. And the first way of showing that he can grow from it is he walked to the podium today. I thought he'd be walking with a limp for some time.
Yeah.
But he took the hits and moved on.
50 cents.
Like Frank Sinatra.
Thank you, sir. That's right. Hey, it's Rich Eisen here. Join me and my compadre, Chris Brockman, every Monday on the Overreaction Monday podcast.
A 2023 last place team will win a playoff game this year.
I'm taking the Cincinnati Bengals to be that team. If you gave me
safe bet.
If you said two last place teams, I might say that's an overreaction. Come react or overreact with us. This one makes it much easier. Very so fun. Thank you for making it easier.
Well, tune in next week.
Overreaction Monday, wherever you listen.